The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. In the modern culture, meology is the prevailing religion as opposed to theology. Theology is the study and worship of God. Meology is a made-up word referring to the study and worship of oneself. In this sermon, Elder John Morgan Owens preaches to us about meology versus theology. And we learn that this is not a modern problem. Men have been worshiping themselves since the fall of Adam. Join us today for the first half of this sermon, which describes the problem of self-worship and begins to point us toward God worship.
O Christ, He is the fountain, the deep sweet well of love. The streams on earth I tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There to an ocean fullness its mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in my Emmanuel's land. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's mine. He brings a poor vile sinner into His house of wine. I stand upon His merit, I know no other stand. Not e'en where glory dwelleth in my Emmanuel's land.
If you'll turn with me to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 2, I want to talk to you about meology versus theology. Now, meology is a term that I'm making up. It's probably already been used. I think there's a product line called meology or something. That's not what I'm referring to. I don't even know what that is, but I think Sister Meredith has said something like that. I don't know. But I'm just using that term, meology, to mean like the worship of yourself, okay? The man-centered gospel, if you will. And, you know, we see that as very prevalent in the world that we live in the American culture that we live in. You know, everything is about you, right? That's what the media and all the advertising, that's what it's all about. It's about you, right? And about what the things that you can get, and you can get it now, right? It's my money. I want it now. Or, you know, with Amazon, you can order something. You could order anything that you can imagine. And then within 2 days, except if you live in the country like us, within 2 days, it's on your doorstep. And that's all about you. It's been an infrastructure of businesses and shipping and everything that's all made for you. And so we buy into that. And of course, now we've got, I don't know if you pay any attention to social media. That is a place where people's pride, people's vainglory is just on display, right? That's a place for people who don't have the guts to talk to people in public about their opinions. They can sit there in the privacy of their home and they can just spew out nonsense, right? And now truth is even subject to the individual. So now you can have your truth and I can have my truth. And God forbid that I say anything factual that would invade on your truth, that would offend somebody, right? I watched a little video from the Babylon Bee. Okay, so Babylon Bee does satire, all right? So don't see an article and think, oh my goodness, that's what's happening. It's satire, okay? But they did a little video, it was pretty comical, where some guy was hospitalized and the doctor comes along and says, wow, what is this? This is the worst case I've ever seen. And this guy was hospitalized from a slightly differing opinion, right? Somebody had said something that was just slightly different from his opinion and it offended him so badly. And so to cure him, they started just giving him the talking points that you see on CNN or whatever, you know, about how, you know, Biden's great and everything's great and you know, all the many genders, and the guy started recovering the more that they fed that to him, you know? And you know, the sad thing is that we live in a world where even truth we have taken truth and we've said, everything's about me, so why can't the truth be about me? Why can't I say that I don't identify as a man, or I don't identify as a woman, I identify as a wolf, you know? And why can somebody tell me no? Right? And that's where we are. When you've got generations of people coming up believing that everything's about you, that's what happens. And unfortunately, Christianity, something that should be separate, should be able to stand alone and be independent from the whims of the culture, has given in. And so now, and it's not just now, it's been going on for since the garden. We'll talk about that in a second. But Christianity now has been changed and morphed to where it's about you. You think about the large churches in our country and in our state, our communities, whatever. And those churches are not really about Jesus anymore. They're not about the preaching of the truth of the gospel. They're about what you can get out of it. And look, I hope and pray that you came here today expecting a blessing, okay? I do. I certainly do, and I come hungry and I need it. But the truth is, we don't come here for us. We come here to worship Him, right? So as Brother Tim and Brother Chris and I and others have said many times, we are not being performed to when we come to church. We are the performers, okay? We're not coming and buying tickets and sitting in church for a show. We're coming to church for the audience of one who is in heaven above, looking down to see His children, right? That's what we're here for. But we have lost that in America, in the world, because it's about me. It's not about Him. You know, I've watched videos of churches, not from around here, but churches that have their rock band and their performance, and it is just crazy. You know, and then they get up there and they try to, I think there was some Super Bowl church meetings that they were trying to do something Super Bowl themed and try to be all cute about it. And so they got up there on the stage and there's people and they take the Bible and they put it on the stand and they're trying to kick a field goal with the Bible. And I mean, it was all kind of crazy stuff. They were just trying to keep people's attention. I mean, that's a church that's about you, right? That's not theology, okay? That's meology. Amen. Theology is the study of God, of Him, right? And so let's talk about meology and theology. All right, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. We have got to realize this. The commandments of God are not harsh, okay? The commandments of God are not even negative. You know, that's, Brother Chris was talking earlier this morning about Satan driving narratives and twisting things to where it sounds as if even though a good thing happened, it was really bad. And the other way around too. Well, see, God's commandment was every tree of the garden is for you, right? Now, as we're going to read here in just a minute, Satan would turn that to say, well, God's trying to keep something from you. And that is not true, okay? The commandments of God and the teachings of Scripture are not trying to keep something from you. Yes, we shouldn't be drunkards. Yes, we shouldn't be fornicators and these things of the flesh that your flesh wants to act on. But God is not keeping things from you. What He's doing is He's preserving the good things for you, okay? And that's what they're doing. Is if when they take a part of that fruit in the garden, right, all of the rest of the goodness is going to be ruined for them. So the commandment of God is not, oh, I'm going to try to keep them from having a good time. No, the commandment of God is to preserve the good time for them, right? Amen. So he says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. All right, and so when you probably read this when you're a kid, you imagine this poisonous fruit that the second that they eat of it, they're just going to kill over dead, right? That's what we think. But God says the day that we eat of it, that very same day that we eat of it, we're going to die. I love the book of Genesis there. The very beginning sets out so many good things for us. You've got in chapter 1, you've got the creation. Chapter 2, you've got the commandment. Chapter 3, you've got the crime where we fall. But also paired with that fall and the crime, you've got that covenant, that blessed statement of God that He says, yes, we fell in sin, but I've got a plan, right? I've got a plan to redeem you. Now in Genesis 3, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said. I've mentioned this several times before. But Satan's attack, he doesn't come right up to you and blindside you with some heresy, okay? He just begins with whittling at your belief in the Word of God, right? Makes you question the Word of God. And let's see here. Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. All right, so Satan comes along, and then he begins to whittle at the Word of God. He said, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really say that He's keeping you from something? That you can't eat of every tree of the garden? And when she is met with that temptation, when she's met with with the Word of God being challenged, what does she do? She adds to the Word of God. She says, "Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it." That's not what God said. You see, the commandments of God are not grievous. They're not difficult. And the serpent said unto the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Look at this. This is the thing that we're talking about. We're talking about meology. He says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." See, it's not a new thing. It's not a new thing that we have been obsessed with ourselves. All right. Even from the very beginning, the very first lie was that we could be like God. Okay? That's what Satan is saying here. That is the great temptation. And of course, now that we're fallen man, now that we have the flesh to deal with and the fallen state that it's in, we have a lot more difficulty resisting that lie, that temptation. Okay? So even from the very beginning, it's not just a modern concept that we're the center of the universe. Even from the very beginning, Satan was feeding us that lie.
Right.
That you eat of that fruit and you'll be as gods. And that's all we want, right? We want to be the God. We want to be the center of the universe. Think about this. Think about even how Christianity has taken on that meology approach.
Yeah.
All right, so you come in and you've got programs and you've got the performance up there, and then you've got schools and groups and everything all about you. Okay, it's really not about Christ. What about coming up to the front and you accepting Christ? Right, that is about the sinner. Okay, that is something that the sinner thinks that they need to do because it's about me. Well, Jesus died on the cross, and all you've got to do is just accept Him, and you'll be saved. And then you've got to be baptized, and then you've got to not live in sin, and all of this focus is all on the sinner, all on me. What we're doing, nobody's going to say this, but what we're really doing is we can't get over ourselves. We are still, for whatever reason, the gods, right? Just as Satan lied to us about. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it began with a look, as Brother Chris has said before on regarding other subjects. She saw that it was good and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof. I just imagine this. As she looks and she sees that it's pretty, you know. And then, so sin, don't ever think that sin is just a single event, okay? When you commit a sin, especially a public sin, but any kind of sin, it's not just one event, right? It is a series of decisions that you have made the wrong decision at multiple branching points, you know? You don't just wake up one day, at least unless you're a sane person, you don't just wake up one day and say, "I'm going to kill somebody," right? Or you don't just wake up one day and say, "I'm going to cheat on my wife."
Right.
It begins with multiple steps, multiple temptations, if you will, choices that you had to make, and you chose the wrong one.
Right.
And so, just pause. I gotta say this. So, God tells us in Scripture that you won't be tempted more than you can bear, right? But with the temptation, He will provide a way out, okay? And what that is, God's not sending you temptation, but God is always there with you. When Satan brings temptations along, God is there. He is there, and He has got your exit plan, okay? The problem for us is that we don't always look to the exit plan. We act on that. We make that decision. Maybe you see something, and then you don't shun that. You don't look away. You just continue. You've made a choice. You have committed a sin, and you have decided, "I'm not going to take God's exit plan. I'm going to proceed down this road just a little bit further." Okay, just a little bit further. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to hurt. You know, if You know, you're walking past the store, you look in, you see the merchandise, and you say, well, it won't hurt. I don't have to purchase it. I can just go into the store and take a look at it, right? Well, that's not how it works for me. Okay, if there's something that I'm interested in purchasing, okay, I don't know if anybody else can relate to this, but if there's something that I'm interested in buying, and I tell Sister Meredith, well, you know, there's the store's right here. I'll just go take a look at it, right? I'm not gonna buy it. You know what ends up happening as I'm standing there in front of that thing, and I am justifying in my mind how we can afford it, how I can sell it to Meredith when I call her on the phone, you know. And I'm already in my mind, I'm envisioning, how am I going to fit that in the truck on the way home? We're going to get this, you know. You know, but it all began by me just deciding to go in the store, okay? You see, we have many decisions when it comes to sin, and we just choose the wrong path, all right? All right, so getting back to it, she sees that it was good, and then she touches it, and I can't help but think that as she misinterpreted Scripture or added to Scripture, and she's added to the Word of God that said, when you touch it, you'll die. I just can't help but wonder, when she touched it and she didn't die, she thought, oh, well, it's not so bad after all, right? Yeah. You know, that's one of the downsides to us adding to the Word of God, right? Is all of a sudden we draw lines that don't exist in the Word of God. And then once you pass that line and nothing happened, you feel safe, yeah, right? And that line wasn't really there. So then she eats of it. And she gave it to her husband with her. I don't know what Adam was doing this whole time. You know, I don't know if he was envisioning, that corner plot that he's going to work in the garden, or if he's doing something that we often do as men and we're not really present. but nonetheless, she gives him to eat, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So something happened immediately after they ate. We don't know how long they were in the garden. We don't know if they were there for 100 years. We don't know. We don't know if they were there a couple days. But we know something, okay, is that it was very different in the garden than it is now, okay? And that they were there. The Lord, the Scripture tells us that they were working, that they were naked, they were not ashamed. And then all of a sudden they eat of the fruit, and then immediately they realize, hey, we got to put some clothes on. Suddenly, shame enters into the picture. And you know, ultimately, I think we can all probably agree that shame is really, it's a desire to hide a vulnerability. You don't want your vulnerabilities exposed to everybody any more than I wouldn't want to be up here without any clothes, right? I don't want things that are within my heart and the sinful desires and the sinful things that I've done, I want to hide them. I don't want those vulnerabilities to be exposed to the people that I love. And so suddenly, there is a divergence, okay? Suddenly, when they ate that fruit, they didn't kill over dead like we probably thought they would, but they did die, okay? Yeah. They died because all of a sudden they went from having no shame, nothing to hide before a righteous God to trying to hide from Him. Yeah. So sin, shame, all of the bad things that we know today. And so they try to go and they hide themselves, and they try to take the things of the world and to hide their shame. And that, look, that's ultimately what we're doing also in meology, right? Is instead of coming to the righteous God of the universe who can make us fur coats, we go and we decide that we're going to hide our shame with fig leaves. These nasty, scratchy things that are going to decay, that are not going to work. And so we say, well, I'm gonna confess my sins before God, and that'll save me from my sins. Or I'm gonna accept Him in front of the church. I'm gonna pray the sinner's prayer. I'm gonna go through and be baptized, all so that I can take my works and the things that I do, and I'll clothe my nakedness and my shame. But those are just like fig leaves. Amen. Okay, when they dry up, they're gonna blow away.
Amen.
And that's what happens to us. That's what that's what's happening to God's sheep out there.
Right.
As they are burdened with their sins and they are already born again, they already are sensitive to their sins.
Right.
And every time they come along and they say, "Was my work sufficient? Did I do enough? Was my acceptance good enough? When I prayed to Him, was I really praying to Jesus Christ, or was I thinking of something else?" You know, there are any number of things that you can when man is in the picture, right? That you can think of that are weaknesses in that chain of salvation. And so what's happening is even from the very beginning, we decided we're going to take fig leaves. We're going to take these things of the world and try to hide our shame. But what does God do? He comes along and he makes a sacrifice, the requirement of blood for sin, and he clothes them with coats of skins, things that are going to last, things that are going to be more comfortable for us. That's what he did in salvation.
Due to the constraints of time, we will stop the message here. But please join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.